Proverbs chapter number 1. We are finishing up our character quality series tonight with our last character quality. But I'm just going to tell you up front, we're not finishing the message tonight. So it's too much material. And we're not even going to cover everything there is to say about this particular character quality. But we're going to begin to look at tonight the character quality of wisdom. Now, just in case you don't know this, the Bible has just a little bit to say about wisdom. And more specifically, the book of Proverbs is loaded with stuff about wisdom. But let's look at Proverbs chapter number 1, verses 1 through 3, just to kind of as a jumping off place. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equality. And then he goes on and gives us some more reasons why he's writing the book of Proverbs. Verse 2 is interesting because it uses three different words: wisdom, instruction, and understanding. It doesn't specifically use the word knowledge, but it does say to know wisdom. We're going to look at the connection of those here as kind of an introduction as we walk through some things tonight. So there's a number of Hebrew words that are translated to the word wisdom. One means a skill or a shrewdness or a prudence. That's the word that we have here in verse 2 of our text. Then the second Hebrew word is to have insight, to give attention to or to consider or ponder. It's an act circumspectly, if you will. And that's the word that we have in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. The third word that's used is the idea of sound knowledge or success, abiding success, if you will. Efficient wisdom is the idea behind that particular word. The dictionary defines the word wisdom as the quality or state of being wise. How many of you ever heard your teacher say you can't define a word with a word? The dictionary does that, right? But anyway, the quality or state of being wise. Knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. I think that's a phenomenal definition from a secular source. And let me read that again. It's knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgment as to action. It has the idea of acuteness of mental discernment and a soundness of judgment, a discernment, an insight. Another dictionary defined it this way: the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Another very good definition. One author said, at the heart of wisdom is character formation. Because the purpose of wisdom is to guide humans into life that is truly good as Yahweh evaluates it, as God evaluates it. Now, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job are considered what people call wisdom literature. They also are Hebrew poetry in a lot of ways, the way that's worked through that. And we'll look at some of that as we go along here. So a couple of questions come to mind, at least in my mind, as we start this. Well, what's the connection then between understanding and wisdom? We see that quite a bit. Matter of fact, 24 times the word wisdom and understanding are together in the book of Proverbs. And when I say together, I mean in the same verse. If you expand that to verses back to back, it gets larger. So what is that? For instance, in Proverbs 2:2, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Proverbs 2 and verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. We're going to get to knowledge here and understanding in just a little bit as we work through this aspect. Proverbs 3 and verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Do you see how the Word of God is putting those two right back to back with each other? As we're not going to talk a lot about this, but there's part of Hebrew poetry is Hebrew parallelism as they lay them on top of each other to emphasize the points. Proverbs 10 and verse 13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. The Hebrew word for understanding is twice translated wisdom. So the writers felt like that was a good way to take that Hebrew word. They're both wisdom and understanding are personified in the book of Proverbs. For instance, Proverbs 8 and verse 1, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding putteth forth her voice? So they're personified as we work through that. I'm being a little technical tonight, but I want you to follow me because I think it lays a foundation for us about what's happening in the rest of the book. The verb refers to knowledge, which is superior to the mere gathering of data. That's really important. So it's not just that I have a knowledge. It's not just gathering information, stuffing in facts, if you will. It is necessary to know how to use the knowledge. That's the theological word book of the Old Testament. It carries the idea of discernment or insight. So not just knowledge, but the ability to practice that knowledge. Again, the theological word book of the Old Testament says, while understanding is a gift from God, it does not come automatically. The possession of it requires a persistent diligence. It is more than IQ. It connotes character. Deeply connected with that. One is at fault if he doesn't have it, and in fact, not to pursue it will incur God's judgment or God's punishment. When one acts on the objective presentation of God's revelation, he will attain the ideal of the significance of understanding. So in other words, it's not just me gathering the facts that I need, but it's how I take those facts and apply them to everyday life. These are deeply linked in the book of Proverbs. The writer seems to indicate on many occasions that they're inseparable. In other words, if you have one, you will have the other, and vice versa. Well, then that begs the question, in my mind anyway, well, what about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? How are they connected then? And again, they're connected somewhat in Scripture. If we look at just the verses that they're all three in, Proverbs 2 and verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. All three words connected in one verse. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Again, all words connected there. We're not doing a lot in the New Testament with this study, but one verse I thought was interesting, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. What are they going to pray? To desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This word knowledge is a perception, a skill, a discernment, an understanding. It also can mean wisdom. So wisdom is translated wisdom. Understanding can be translated as wisdom. Knowledge can be translated as wisdom. Do you see the connection? They're pretty deeply connected, for sure. Though we are studying wisdom, we'll see that it is impossible, wisdom is impossible, apart from understanding and knowledge. Though they're different in some ways, it would be no problem for you to link them in your mind. I think it's important that you do so. We'll distinguish them a little bit in just a moment. A couple of secular people, I think, are interesting as they quote this. Albert Einstein, he knew a little bit here and there. He said this, I thought it was an interesting quote, any fool can know. The point is to understand. I thought that was interesting, for sure. Now, let's use this as an illustration tonight, okay? What is the difference between an oceanographer and a fisherman? Right? Now, I want you to think for a moment. And we're not talking about a fisherman like I am, okay? People say, do you like to fish? Let's qualify that. I like to catch fish. I don't like to fish. You're like, what's the difference? People who like to fish will cast a reel and rod for 8 hours, and if they don't catch nothing, it's still a good day. No, that ain't happening, okay? if I'm not catching anything, this is not a fun day, all right? I want to be catching something out there. So I like to catch fish. There's a difference. But I'm talking about somebody who actually does this for a living. Their family has done it for a living, okay? So what's the difference between a guy that would be a professional fisherman, that's the way his family makes a living, his father did it, his grandfather did it, his great-grandfather did it, he's taken over the business. What's the difference in the two men? Well, it depends on the men, wouldn't it? But let's just assume for a moment that an oceanographer has gained all his knowledge from a book. Nothing wrong with that. But let's say that he has a doctorate's degree in oceanography, but he spent very little time on the ocean. But let's say that the fisherman has never been to college, and he couldn't give you the Latin term for that particular creature that he just fought and got in the boat. And he couldn't tell you the fathoms that it takes for such and such to happen. He just knows when the water looks like that, you're in trouble if you don't get home. Okay? Now, if you were going to trust someone on a boat, which one would you choose? Okay. Now, we're not being critical necessarily of the oceanographer, but the oceanographer may have all the knowledge of the subject. But this man has the wisdom. But now get this. This is important. What if this fisherman didn't learn anything from his father and grandfather? Would that change whether you wanted to get on the boat with him? It would. Because if he didn't learn anything, you would want to know, do you know something? You may not know a book learning, but I want to know that you know what it looks like on the horizon out there. A storm's coming, or the water's getting this, or this is happening, or that's happening. That's really, I think, what we can look at when we talk about the difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowing how to use the facts that are there. If we're not careful, however, we'll get to a point of saying, well, I don't need no school. It's not that we don't need an education. It is, however, important that education comes in different realms. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, it used to be in America, a man learned a trade from a college or from his family. By and large, it was from his family. Right? Matter of fact, it's interesting today, a lot of colleges are exploding in one particular department today, and that is in trade schools. They're teaching guys how to work with their hands and all this kind of stuff once again, because that has, if we're not careful, we'll be a total lost art. That doesn't mean you don't need to know how that wood, will, that you can work with that wood. But it's probably pretty important that you know it's not helpful to make a wagon wheel out of pine. Right? You're like, well, you might be able to make, you might if it's slow growth pine, but I wouldn't trust a wagon wheel out of pine, no matter what kind of growth it is, right? I'd much rather it be hickory or something like that if I'm going to make a wagon wheel, right? Well, how do you know that? Well, you'd learn that through the process of time with that. And you know, how to shape the wood. So my point is, we can't have wisdom without knowledge. We can't have knowledge without wisdom. That makes sense to you? I hope that's the connection there as we work through this, okay? We have to also be careful about just gathering knowledge without using it. The saddest aspect of life right now, as one person put it, is that science gathers knowledge faster than not than society gathers wisdom. Did you catch that? That's a pretty interesting quote. Science gathers knowledge faster than society gathers wisdom. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Context there is about offering to idols and meat offered to idols and so forth. But the point is, if we just have knowledge, that can cause us to be proud. I love how one author defines this. One author defines the three terms this way. I'm not saying it's totally this, but I like this. He says, knowledge are the facts. Understanding is the ability to translate meaning from facts. Wisdom is knowing what to do next. Giving an understanding of the facts and the circumstances. So again, he says, knowledge is the facts. Understanding is the ability to translate meaning with those facts. Wisdom is knowing what to do next, giving an understanding of the facts and the circumstances. Okay, what's laid before us here? What does that mean for us? So we're going to begin tonight to look at the idea of wisdom. Right? We're going to primarily, with the exception of one passage, we're going to stick to the book of Proverbs. Okay? There are other things that the Word of God says about wisdom, but Proverbs gives us an incredible panorama of this important subject. And I want us to see this central truth as we start tonight. We must make wisdom a priority in our life. And we'll talk about that right at the beginning here. This is not an option. This is not an option for us as we think about it. So number one, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 4 and verse 5. We'll do a little bit of turning tonight as we work through this. Proverbs 4 and verse 5. The Bible says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." Chapter 5 and verse 1. "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding." You see that connection between these words again, right? So number one, we are commanded to get it. The Hebrew language, just like the Greek language, has commands written in them. This idea, get wisdom, get understanding, it's an imperative. You don't have a choice about this. It's not like you say, hey, if you want to, it'll help you live life better. It will help you live life better, by the way. But God is saying, I want you to have it. It's commanded. By the way, we don't always understand commands. You're like, well, how do you know that? Well, at least in practice, we don't. For instance, we understand commands like this, thou shalt not kill. I mean, if somebody walked in this room tonight and started killing people, we would know intuitively that it's wrong. But if somebody walked in this room and didn't practice wisdom, would we equate those as the same thing? In other words, would we see that as a lack of obeying God's command? That's what I mean by sometimes we don't understand it. In other words, God says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie, all those things. He also said, get wisdom. It's a command for us to do. He's telling us we have to do it. So are you seeking after wisdom? Are you seeking after wisdom? Which means you have to have knowledge, and you have to have understanding, and you have to use those things on a day-by-day basis. Number two, look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. The Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Again, two words connected there. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. So the second truth is, not only is it commanded, but it is the chief thing. The word here, where he says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, and so forth. Wisdom is a principal thing. That word is first, best, chief, or the choice part. In other words, it ought to be at the top of your grocery shopping list, if you will. All right? He says, you got to get it. Okay. How many of you have ever cooked a good steak on a grill? Anybody ever had one of those on a grill? Most of us have done that at some point or another. Okay? Unless you buy patio steaks, which are the little cheap, thin ones, which are not bad if you don't have steak at all. But unless you buy those, most of the steaks you buy are going to come, and somewhere in that steak is going to be a certain part of it, we would call it the heart of the steak, that is extra tender. Okay? In different steaks, it's in different locations, okay? Sometimes it's on the edge of it, all right? And that, you no matter, you hardly can mess it up. I mean, you can, but you hardly can, all right? And when it's cooked right, the whole steak may be good, but that little part there or the heart of it or whatever, you can almost cut it with a fork. Now, generally in our house, my wife gets that part of the steak, all right? She loves steak, but she can't chew it very well, so she gets that. She'll say to me, don't give me the best part. I'm like, well, it's all good, but, you know, here's this part right here, right? Okay, when he says the chief part, that's the one part that's so tender and almost falls apart, that's the chief part. That's the first part. That's the part you really want out of the steak, right? What's God saying? It's a principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Get it. Do what you can to get a hold of it. So have you made getting wisdom a priority in your life? The third truth, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 21. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Okay, the third truth is we are to be careful with it. We're commanded to get it. It's to be the chief thing, or it is the chief thing. Number three, we're to be careful with it. This would indicate that just because you had it once doesn't mean you're going to always have it. Right? Let's reread the verse, Proverbs 3 and verse 21. My son, let thine eyes depart from, or let them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom. The idea behind this word is a watchman. The more aware I am of danger, the more prone I am to be at watch, right? For instance, tonight, for most of you, when you left your house tonight, though you probably locked your door, most of you were probably not paranoid that someone was going to break in your house tonight. Matter of fact, for most of you, it probably never even crossed your mind. For some of you, it may have, but most of you had. But let's assume tonight that you lived in a neighborhood, and for the last 6 weeks, a robber had hit houses of people going to church on Wednesday night. Do you think you'd be a little more paranoid about your house possibly getting hit as you back out of the driveway with your Jesus sticker on your bumper? Right? Follow me to Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's like saying to the robber, come on down, I'm the next contestant on your robbery show, right? Would you be more careful? All of us would be. Would you check the doors maybe a little bit better? Would you may have installed some cameras or whatever it may be to do that, okay? That's the idea behind this. Keep it. Be careful with it. Make sure that you guard it. It's precious. You know, it's interesting. I don't even know how long ago it's been now, but a number of years ago, those of you that have lived, have been here a long time at Emmanuel know, our house was robbed. We were at a church service. And no question about it, it was someone who knew we were going to church that night. No question about it. And you know what's interesting? Just periodically, when I walk back in our house, particularly on Wednesday evenings, because it was a Tuesday evening, it was right before our Thanksgiving service, but Wednesday evenings, sometimes I'll open the door and the thought will fleet across my mind, I wonder if our stuff's still here. Now, it's been years. I don't even know how long ago it's been now since that happened. But there's this fleeting thought. And usually I'll look around like, yep, stuff's still here. They didn't take that. And if they were going to get it, they'd probably taken that, you know, or whatever. But it causes us to be more careful. That's exactly what he's talking about. So are you guarding wisdom in your life? Do you have it? Have you sought after it? And if so, are you guarding it in your life? The fourth truth and last one for tonight, Proverbs 3 and verse 13. The Bible says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. So, number four, it causes cheerfulness. Now, this word happy here is really interesting. It's the same word translated in Psalms chapter 1 as blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of God. Same word. In other words, the word blessed and happy are combined. Now, let me get on another one of my little pet peeves here for a minute, okay? And when you study the words in Scripture, all the words that deal with happy, blessed, joy, and so forth and so on, you'll find those words are intertwined. I've heard people say there's a difference between being happy and joyful. Can I tell you that's not biblical? The words are intertwined biblically. They're all mixed together, okay? So this word is used, happy is the man. Okay, you could say that. There's nothing wrong with saying that. But it also could mean blessed is the man. And what is he happy or blessed in? When he finds wisdom, when he gets understanding. So it causes cheerfulness. The root word means to pronounce happy or to be called blessed. It is a happiness or blessedness that's there. In other words, why would we settle for temporary happiness instead of the real thing? And God says one of the ways, there are other things, by the way, mentioned in Scripture, But one of the ways to be happy in life is to get wisdom, to get understanding. That makes it not just a command that we have to bear underneath. It's something that we get to do. And when it happens, we're happy about it. It's great that God gives it to us. So have you ever thought about seeking wisdom to find true happiness? Most people, if you'd say, hey, how do you try to find true happiness? What would you say is your top five reasons for, most of them wouldn't say, oh, I need to seek after wisdom. It wouldn't even be on their horizon, but this is what the Word of God says. So how are you gaining knowledge and understanding to help you with wisdom? In other words, I have to have the facts so that I can then apply them in understanding so that I can use them in a discretion of wisdom. And will you commit to seeking wisdom if you've not done that before? The truth is, some may be in this room and you've never really said, God, I'm going to seek after wisdom. It's what God's told us to do. So we need to make a commitment to that. And we don't have time to go over a lot of the questions, but I want to just give you some thought-provoking things here tonight, okay? What do we substitute for wisdom? I want you to think about that for a minute. What do we substitute for wisdom? As we've talked about these words tonight, let me give you one of my contentions is that sometimes we substitute wisdom for simply knowledge. In other words, because someone knows something, we automatically call them wise. That's not true. They may know all the facts in the world. Quick story. I know we got to go, but just this, I am not exaggerating this story. I know when a preacher says that, like, did you exaggerate all these other stories? No, but this one's so bizarre, you're not going to believe it, right? We had a guy that when I was a boy, my dad owned his own lawn service, and we mowed for him and so forth. It's the way my dad paid for Bible college and our Christian school and so forth. And lawn service don't sound like a big deal, except we were in Florida, and so we cut grass 10 or 11 months out of the year. And, you know, this is what happened. We had 60 or 70 yards to cut, which you start adding those figures together, and you're like, wow, that's a lot of work, and it was. Well, periodically, my dad would hire guys. Now, one thing that my dad found was that my brother and I could usually outwork most other guys. There was reasons for that. My dad had a simple rule. If you don't work, you don't eat. My brother and I like to eat. Therefore, we worked. That's a good syllogism, isn't it, Pastor? Maybe not quite, but anyway. but these guys would get paid. We hired this one guy. He had a 4-year degree from the University of Florida in horticulture. And the guy could walk up to a plant and tell you everything about it. It was amazing. Dumb as a rock. He was dumb. I'm telling you. This is no exaggeration. In all kinds of ways, I could give you story after story after story. But one day, we're standing in a driveway. And he's looking up, and it's raining. And the rain's pelting him in the face, and he's going, huh, I think it's raining. They're like, no kidding. Did you learn that at college, or what? It's just like, you know, the guy was incredibly smart, but there were some things where he just didn't know how to apply the knowledge. It was like, you know, we're standing under a porch. There's a reason we're standing under the porch. It's raining, right? That's the difference. So just because we have knowledge, sometimes we substitute that. What are some ways that we can be educated? We don't have to answer this right now, but think about it, okay? What are some ways we can be educated? You can read. There's all kinds of ways. I wouldn't suggest that your only educational method is the media. If you're doing that, I just want to tell you that, okay? And then number three, how can wisdom leave us? You need to think about that. If we need to keep it, that means it can walk away from us. It can leave it. How do we do that? Really, really important. Okay, we got to go. Lord willing, we'll get 5 through 14 next week. Like, we only covered 4 tonight. I know. Bob, we didn't need those comments. I don't know what it was, but you're encouraging Kevin, right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. And we're grateful for the study from your word. It's so rich, and we're grateful for it. In your name we pray.